This is WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzo. Romancing the Hilarity is an upcoming book by author Maurice DeBose III. I say upcoming because while the West Lafayette resident has written the book, it's not yet published. He joins me in the studio to talk about the book and his effort to get it into print. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
So let's first talk a little bit about this book. What is Romancing the Hilarity about?
Well, as a 20-something, actually, all through my life, I've observed people in relationships, romantic and otherwise, and I've always just had a really good time watching them. And then once I started participating, I realized that life and dating are far more challenging than they looked from the outside. And so I encountered my string of trial and errors, and I've enjoyed keeping track of all those different stories. Romancing the Hilarity is a collection of those tales. Hopefully, you could even learn a little bit of what you can do differently to avoid some of the pitfalls that I fell into.
It's interesting that you find humor in this, where some people might be depressed. How did you work that through your system?
My whole life, I have been under the impression that everything is funny if you try not to take it too seriously, because then you miss the joke.
So why put this into a collection? Why put this into a book?
I've always just had a lot of fun telling stories. I was born a storyteller. I always created fantastic tales for my toys, and it was much more about telling the story than it was about playing with the toys, which frustrated some of my childhood playmates, because I was going on these long narrative tangents, and they were like, well, we're just playing action figures. So I was born a storyteller, and then I became a writer at some point. Sometimes I think of it as the day that I was majoring in communication at Messiah College, and it was a great time. And I had a class with the department chair. His name was Dr. Ed Ark. He was a wonderful professor, and we had a great time together. I got back a paper one day, and it had a B on it. But underneath the B was written, Morris, if it wasn't for your amazing ability in writing, I'm pretty sure this paper would be a D. And that was the day that I became a writer. I realized that I was very good at writing.
The book, does it stretch from puberty, teenage years, 20s? What is the coverage?
Pre-puberty.
Pre-puberty.
I go back as far as a six-year-old dealing with his first case of puppy love, all the way up through the dating string that led to my being married. I've been married for just over 4 months now.
Congratulations.
So, and it's been very exciting.
So read a little excerpt from the book. You've got something in front of you.
Batman in Love. Batman is an icon of everything. At one point or another, every little boy in America has uttered the words, I'm Batman. He's smarter, cooler, and pretty much more awesome than any other superhero on the block. And in the early 90s, he was basically the only player in the vigilante game. So, I was him. At six, I was the oldest kid in the little neighborhood band we'd assembled. I was a little faster and, believe it or not, a little tougher than the rest of the kids we played with. So, when we were pretending, I got to be Batman. I think the real reason was the totally awesome cape that my grandmother made for me, but that's neither here nor there. Robin, the alter ego of my good friend Jay, and I as the Caped Crusader, felled one imaginary foe after another during our many, many quests. We battled from the ends of the earth to our own backyards. Employing clever devices like rubber bands and empty ice cream buckets, we overcame all odds. No one could stand up to us. Until one day. As a 29-year-old man, I still haven't nailed down the details of infatuation. And if you subtract a score of years and a life of experience, I didn't even know the game. And there wasn't anything in the utility belt about talking to girls. Not a big deal for the dynamic duo normally, but Jay had an older sister. Jay's older sister, Kay, and her friend Meg occasionally played with us. But joining us in our superheroics was completely unprecedented. When they asked to join us, we of course said yes. Jay, because it was his cool older sister, and I, because I had a little kid crush on them. They followed us on our adventure and ultimately to safety. All that remained was the daring escape to the Bat Cave. The denouement. This is supposed to be the easy part. The problem? When I opened my mouth to order the girls into the Batmobile, I choked like the Cleveland Indians sports team in any recent history. But I was Batman. I rallied. Looked them in the eyes, and got as far as, okay, before I dissolved into a shy giggle. Even after they spoon-fed me the line, come on, girls, hop in the car. I couldn't make it through the word girls. Somehow, I was sure that if I said it, it would be obvious that I was in love with them. I'd be mortified. They'd be indignant. And Jay would, well, I don't know how a 5-year-old brother reacts when his 6-year-old friend is found to be in love with his 8-year-old sister. But whatever the reaction, I was fairly sure it wouldn't be good. So after a few more moments, which felt like hours, which were probably seconds, I dramatically ran out of the room. The boy wonder dutifully followed me, and the girls got bored and left Gotham to head back to Grisby Place in North Canton, to Kay's room and Barbie's. And although we still played together from time to time, they never joined us in our world of superheroics after that, which I suppose is just as well. It's hard to be the hero if you can't ride off into the sunset.
Was it easy, difficult to put some pretty raw emotions on paper? I mean, people will read this, Morris,
yes,
and learn more about you.
There were a couple of points where I typed it. I put the words on the page, and then I just stared at them. I couldn't go any farther. I deal with things like unrequited love. That was a really hard chapter to write. And sort of the challenge, the give and take of relationships, missed opportunities, things like that. And then also really honest moments in my relationship with my wife. And there are some stories that I couldn't put down for different reasons. But even the stories that I did put down come from a real and significant place.
So let's talk about this effort to get something published. I know it's not easy, but what has been the path so far and what are you looking at?
As I finished up the book, I decided that I wanted to self-publish. I was very excited about the idea of being in control of the work. I've read a lot about writing by many, many very well-known authors, and some of the frustrations that they experience, the creative stifling, the editorial challenges, are part and parcel of the publication industry. So I was looking into alternative options. I looked at just publishing directly to the Amazon Kindle. And then I discovered Kickstarter, which, if you're not familiar with Kickstarter is a crowdfunding program. It's a chance to democratize production. People can take ideas for the things that they've developed and basically offer them up to the world at large and say, hey, listen, if you find value in my idea, if this thing that I'm putting together is interesting to you, would you consider contributing to it? Now, in exchange, the creators, the authors, or the builders offer rewards and other sorts of incentives to give, much like public radio has done for years and years. I've enjoyed giving to public radio, and I've enjoyed listening to public radio. Some of my rewards, and I'm fairly excited about them, I'm an excellent knitter and also a really good singer. And so I have a couple of scarves that you can receive for certain pledge amounts. Copies of the book, of course, are available. And if you're really interested, you can actually have me and a few of my family members carol for you over the phone this upcoming holiday season. On the very, very high end, if you'd like me to MC a party or officiate your wedding, those are even on the table for very ambitious givers.
But in general, it could be a pre-order for the book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On the very basic end, it could just be a digital copy. It could be a physical copy. It could be a signed physical copy. One of the things that's really interesting about Kickstarter as a program is the sort of all or nothing funding platform. They've set up a system where if you, like, let's say you set up a budget, my budget is $4,500. You set up a specific period of time. In my case, it was 30 days. And once your 30 days has elapsed, you've made or exceeded your budget. They transfer the funds to you and you're able to sort of put your project together. If, however, you haven't made your budget, they return the money to the pledgers. Some people hate that as a model. But what that does is it allows the creator to not operate under an artificial pressure. Because if I say that it's going to cost me $4,500 to create the book and the product that I want to see out in the market that I want to offer you, and I only raise $300, well, I won't be able to put out anything that's even a fraction as good as I originally wanted. And so Kickstarter holds me accountable as an artist to you, the donors or the contributors or the people that are involved, to make sure that I provide what I have promised to you. Right now, I am just above 12%.
Okay.
I have 20 donors, and I've actually gained a bit of momentum, which is nice. It's nice when your project starts to gain traction. I'm seeing more shares on Facebook and Twitter retweets, and I'm connecting to sort of a larger audience, both here in the greater Lafayette area, back in my hometown of Canton. I lived in D.C., and I'm sort of catching a little bit of energy there. And so it's really exciting to see those areas start to share the message and the connections from that point.
And as part of the promotion, you are going to be at the West Lafayette Public Library Wednesday evening.
Yes, I am. I'm very excited about that. I'll be doing a reading from the book and from other works that I've done. I've maintained a blog for a long time, mostly humorous reflections. And so I'll be doing a reading from the book and then a handful of other things as well.
Romancing the Hilarity is the yet-to-be-published book by Morris DeBose III. For more information about that, the Kickstarter campaign, and the reading at the library Wednesday night, go to our website, WBAA.org. Morris, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
And good luck with the project.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate the luck.
You're listening to WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzo.